Verdugo back to the pin. He caught it. He took it back.
He's doing everything right now.
That ball is gone. What a bullet by Devers.
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
Hello and welcome. We are back and better than ever. It is the TC and Jerry podcast. Talk Care, Jerry Remery with you. Jerry, how are you today?
Good. I'm doing very well. Got a couple of days off, so, you know, doing good.
Awesome. Yeah, you're gonna take a little break. It's been a long weekend. It felt like a long weekend with the doubleheader and the morning game. I was driving home yesterday afternoon. I was wiped out.
Yeah, I had no idea what day it was. You know what? How many games we had played? It was a weird feeling, but it's always that way on on a marathon weekend. And this was strange because of the doubleheader and all that stuff. So, but it was a tiring weekend. But that was a big win for the Red Sox yesterday. They come back after losing a doubleheader. And then come back and win that game against a good ball club in the Chicago White Sox. That showed me something yesterday because I could see it going the other way, turning a different direction with Toronto coming in town. And it was a real good game to win, I thought.
Yeah, it's a really good point because you took 3 out of 4 against Minnesota, very good team.
Right.
When you salvage a split, that split always feels better. And you do it against the White Sox, very good team. So this isn't just Baltimore now. This is you going out and beating teams that are expected to be playoff teams.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, the White Sox, you know, they're going to be a good ball club. I mean, they got some arms in that pitching staff and especially in the bullpen too. And, you know, to be able to come back, bite them, you know, on that last game and get a split of a 4-game series, which is never, you know, that's hard to do. It's really hard to do. And, you know, it would have also continued if you didn't win. Well, can they really win at home? You know, and I talked about at the beginning of the homestand, how important it was to transfer, you know, some of those wins, the way they've been playing on the road trip into playing that way at Fenway Park, because I believe as a team, you've got to get people, you know, a little intimidated coming in here to play you. It hasn't been that way for a while. The Red Sox haven't played well at Fenway. And to have teams know that you're playing well at Fenway is a lot more intimidating coming into play against the Red Sox when they're playing well at home. And that's all they've always been able to do that, it seems like, play well at home, but not for the last couple of years. So it's been like another walk in the park for the other club when they come in here and they're not intimidated by anything. So, you know, it was great to see the way they played, especially where they jumped on Giolito yesterday. That was great. You know, he didn't have his good stuff, obviously. He looked way out of whack. He couldn't get his fastball over. He didn't have much velocity. Went to his breaking ball. They were jumping all over that. So they got rid of him very quickly in the ball game. And that was really a surprise for me.
Yeah, this guy's one of the best. I mean, he's their opening day starter. Giolito's been really good. We looked all up, all the numbers after. It was the worst inning he's ever had in his life. Most pitches he's ever thrown, shortest start he's ever had. I mean, they absolutely pounded him in that first inning.
Yeah, they did. You know, he came out and I think he realized he didn't have his good fastball yesterday. He was only like 93, 94, and that's not him. And I think he felt that right away. So he felt a need immediately to go to his breaking stuff. And the Red Sox, I think, noticed the same thing. And so they were sitting on some breaking balls and I think, you know, doing a good job of making good solid contact on them, put the pressure on them early. And he looked beat by the end of the first inning. I was a little surprised to see him go out in the second inning because it was just one of those days that he didn't have it. And it was that was a good thing because we were all expecting a real pitcher's duel yesterday, which would have been interesting. But I'll take this kind of win any day against a pitcher like that.
3 home runs, the big story yesterday with Kike Hernandez, who's locked in now. Verdugo hit a home run. J.D. Martinez hit a home run. But I want to talk about one at-bat in that first inning that I know got you excited and you talked about in the broadcast. Christian Vasquez, he's got an 0-for-15 going.
Yeah.
They've got 4 hits up on the board to begin the game. There's already a home run. There's already 2 runs in. And he catches them sitting back on their heels a little bit and drops a bunt. I know the scorer said it was a sack, and that was wrong. He was bunting for a base hit. 2 things there. A, I love the attitude that, you know what, I'm going to catch them sleeping here and keep the pressure on them in an inning that's already getting away from Giolito.
Exactly.
And 2, what you've always talked about watching you over the years, that sometimes when you're in a funk, a hit and run, a bunt, a little something where you're not thinking about getting a hit, you're just thinking about executing a play, for lack of a better phrase, right? I mean, it can change everything for a guy.
It really can. You know, you get stuck up there sometimes where you're trying to swing your way out of a slump. And, you know, there are guys that have other options, and he's one of them. you know, the couple of ways that he can get out of slumps is by hitting the ball hard to the opposite field and by doing what he did yesterday, because he's a very good bunter. And, you know, and I looked down at third base and I said, you know, third baseman looks awfully deep. But I didn't myself expect a bunt at that point, you know. And then when I saw him drop his back leg, the drop went down there. I said, oh, this is beautiful, you know. And he put a perfect bunt down. They had no play at all. And I was upset at the official scoring because I said, there's no way that's a sacrifice. First of all, Alex Cora, with nobody out in the inning, wouldn't give them an out to make it easier on Giolito at that point. So he was doing that on his own. And if it works, it's still great because you get second and third with one out. But if it works, it's even better. You got the bases loaded. And, you know, so all kind of crazy things started happening after that. So that was a real good move, I thought, on Vasquez's part. And those are the little things that I've said many times get the dugout going. You know, you play a little hit and run. You drop a bunt down for a base hit. You know, on a rare occasion, you might squeeze, which everybody in the whole ball clubs feel like they took part in that play. And it's really an enjoyment in the dugout when things like that happen. And that was good to see. And then he had two really good at-bats after that, where he took line drives up the middle for a base hit. So that was, you know, that was good. That hopefully that gets him out of the slump that he was, because he was battling pretty good. He was battling it pretty good.
You know, the other thing I think got overlooked yesterday, you know, Nathan Eovaldi was good, obviously. But, you know, you got a 6-0 lead or 6-1 lead in the first inning, you kind of go after. But the second inning, you know, the 29-minute half inning for the Red Sox, right? They pounded the ball. It's a long half inning. He had given up the run in the first inning. He comes back out in the second inning and strikes out the side, 1-2-3, get the offense right back up. That might have been the most important half inning of the day.
You're exactly right. And the thing about, you know, to come out and do that, it's like, you know, we're not taking anything for granted here just because we got an early first inning lead. We want to put an exclamation point on what we're doing here. And he did his part by coming out and shutting him down on the top of the second. You know, nothing worse than you pick up a big inning at the beginning and then you all of a sudden you let them back in the game with a 3 or 4 run inning. And that's not good. You know, things generally don't turn out very well after that. So, you know, he pitched very well. He's really been pitching well. This is the best stretch that I've seen him since he's been a member of the Red Sox.
He is a guy that we've always seen the potential. We know what he's got. We know his stuff. Injuries have been the problem, right? And coming back from injuries, he hasn't been the same in stretches. You just said it. I mean, you're watching him right now, and you're like, oof, if he could stay healthy, and if he stays locked in like this, this could be a special season here for Nathan Eovaldi.
It really could be, you know, and I think he feels the confidence now, you know, that I know he feels the confidence. You have to feel confident the way he's pitching and you know, that he can't wait to get the ball the next time. You know, it's like, I don't need the 4 days in between. I'm feeling so good right now. I want the ball again tonight and go show what I can do again tonight. You know, that's how they get the feeling. And he pitched against a very, very good lineup in the White Sox yesterday, which, you know, they're not as strong right now as they're going to be, but they're going to be a real good lineup, you know, as we see him again, probably in late in the season. And, you know, he just stuck it to him. He went right after him. He gave him his best stuff. He gave him, you know, good fastballs, good cutters, good sliders. You know, I have a tough time when he's on, I have a tough time picking up the difference between his slider and his cutter. I really do. And because it's so tight and they're both small, and it's an adjustment for a hitter to imagine to see the difference between those two. And he had his curveball working, you know, and not too many splits yesterday. Didn't see a lot of splits, saw a few, but didn't really need it because his other stuff was so good.
Yeah. Fastball, curveball yesterday, I thought were two great pitches for a fastball. It's always a good pitch. He's got the velocity, but that curveball, I think he's only given up one hit on a curveball this year.
Yeah, it's a good one. You know, he's right over the top of it. He's got good rotation with it. And, you know, the whole thing, he's been throwing strikes too. You know, he gets ahead of hitters and he's been able to put them away. So he's been spectacular here in the early going.
So they're in first place as they open up a little 2-game set with the Toronto Blue Jays. Then they get back outside the division. Chaim Bloom was with us on the show Tuesday night. I asked him about the fast start and just what that means as they ease into this season.
You're off to a terrific start. I know 17 games doesn't make a season. It also doesn't change any long-term plans if you're at the top of the baseball organization. But it does get the fans excited and gives us a little something to talk about as far as this season. Can you sort of tell us, from a baseball operations perspective, what a good start does in your sort of shorter-term evaluation of where things are going?
Yeah, look, you know, as much as we have long-term goals that we don't shy away from talking about, and those long-term goals aren't changing. We want to be able to deliver championship baseball to our fans every year. And we're not going to rest until we're in a position to do that. So those long-term goals haven't changed. But for all that, we want to win every night we take the field. And it's really exciting to put a group together and to see this group come out the way that they have, not just the wins and losses, but how they've come about. There's been, it seems, a different key contributors to every win that we have. The group is really bonded. They are vibing very well together. They've gelled. And you can see that by how they're playing. So we're seeing a lot of really encouraging things. We know there's some areas where we need to get better. We're going to keep working on those areas. But you got to be happy with the way that things have gone so far.
On the pitching side, Nathan Eovaldi, again, outstanding yesterday, really off to a terrific start and using all of his pitches. How gratifying is it to see a guy who has battled some injuries right now being able to maximize that potential?
As you know, I've followed Nate very closely ever since having him back with the Rays in 17 and 18. And I want to say yesterday might have been one of my favorite outings that he had, because not only did he use all his stuff, but he was just relentless in attacking the strike zone and attacking hitters. There was never a point, even when he did get hit around a little bit, which happened occasionally, there was never a point where he got scared off of his game plan or got scared out of the strike zone. And the results showed. He was in control from the moment he took the mound to the point that he left the game. Pitched deep in the game, put us in great position to win a ball game and let our offense do their jobs.
You know, the pitching obviously has been good. It's also been quick. And I know Dave Bush has talked a lot about working with the entire staff on tempo. Why is that something the organization thinks is important?
Yeah, tempo and strikes. I mean, you know, simply put, the pitcher's the one with the baseball. We have to take it to the hitters. The pitchers get to dictate the action, and that's a privilege that we don't want to waste. There's nothing you can do to put yourself in better position to get a hitter out than be ahead of him in the count. It opens up so many different possibilities. So we want to make sure that whatever repertoires our pitchers have, whatever they're bringing to the table, that they're working ahead in the count. It just opens up so many different things that they can do to put a hitter away. And that's an emphasis for all of our pitchers. Doesn't matter what kind of stuff they have. Doesn't matter if they're throwing 89 or 99. Get ahead in the count, and there's a lot of things you can do to get a hitter out.
When we talk about tempo and pace, and I'm a guy who's been doing this 20 years and has spent my time over those years yelling throw the ball to some pitchers who wouldn't. You got a guy like Nick Pivetta who works so quickly, there's almost times you want him to kind of slow it down a little bit and to kind of regroup. Is there an occasional guy that you do have to talk to about maybe slowing down a hair?
I think that's part of kind of the ebb and flow of every game, and that's really part of what goes on between a catcher and a pitcher, and then also in the dugout between innings. And it's part of the maturation process for a young pitcher. Look, what Nick is trying to do out there with working quickly and taking it to the hitter, we love that. There might be moments where you need to step off and regroup. And the more experience he gets under his belt, the more he's going to know when those moments are, and the more he's going to know when it's time to just get after it. And generally speaking, you know, in my experience, you talk to hitters, a good tempo, a quick tempo makes them uncomfortable. It's not going to work for everybody. It's not for every single moment. But in general, if that's, you know, what Nick is bringing, I think that's going to open up a lot of ways for him to have success.
One thing I want to go back to, Jerry, as Chaim Bloom talked about the Blue Jays, and we'll get to that in a moment, but the doubleheader on Saturday, Sunday, I feel like I forget the day, Sunday. Doubleheader was Sunday. Seven inning doubleheaders. I'm a fan. You're a fan. Alex Cora is a fan. How long is it going to be before people start talking about moving all games to seven innings? Do you think that'll ever, is that too much? Because I'm telling you, Jerry, the more I watch them, I'll preface this. I love baseball. I think the game is the greatest sport in the world. I wish we didn't need to make changes. I'm not one of those guys who always wants to change. But I think we're at a point in the game's place in America that it needs changing. We're losing the young fans. So it's not that I want shorter games. I'm not trying to get home sooner, any of that. To me, Jerry, more than the length of the game, 2.5 hours fits into most. Who's got 4 hours to watch a baseball game? Not many people. But besides the length of the game, it's the urgency. But we saw Plawecki drop a bunt in the first doubleheader we were doing. Right. And you just, they're managing for every moment. There's no lazy kind of easing into the game. It's bang, bang, bang. Right. I think it works better in today's world. I think the pitchers are built for seven innings. Do you think we'll ever see a day where baseball plays seven inning games?
Well, you know, you're starting to sell me on that a little bit. You know, I'm still for the nine inning game. I love the seven inning doubleheaders because, you know, playing in a lot of doubleheaders myself, they were awful. You know, because most of the time what happens in the second game of a doubleheader or extra innings, you know, they, especially in extra innings, and we'll talk about that first. The fact that, you know, guys go up there and try to just end the game with a one swing of the bat, and before you know it, you're in the 12th inning before you're starting to play baseball again. And, you know, I love the fact that they play the seven inning doubleheaders. And, you know, and that was a great example in Minnesota when Alex Cora bunted, you know, with Plawecki and played for urgency early in the game. You just don't see that anymore. You know, they used to be managers that would play for one run in the first inning. In the very first inning, they played for one run, try to get a 1-0 lead in a 9-inning game. That's how different the game has changed. And that reminded me a little bit about that. You know, from urgency point of view, you're exactly right. You know, you've got to do things early. You've got to get things done faster. And from the pitching point of view, pitchers go 5 innings. I mean, that's it. They go 5 innings, unless they're really exceptional, like, you know, Evaldi was. You know, you can go longer than that. But the fact is that, you know, I'm starting to come along the other side, you know, and that's hard for me because there are a lot of rules that I do like and a lot of rules I don't like. But I'm starting to think that, you know, this is what the future of baseball may be. It may be a seven inning baseball game. And, you know, if you're going to pack more excitement in a 7 innings than 9 innings, why not do it? And I think that you can possibly do that.
I think so, too. I've been saying this for a couple. Jim Cott, I remember, said it like 3-4 years ago, and everybody thought he had two heads. And he was, just, you know, Jim Cott's an old school guy. Sure. But he said, if a starter's only going 5 innings, why are we playing 9? The game's not meant for that much bullpen. And the other part of it is, you know, Xander Bogaerts didn't play yesterday. Guys get days off now. You guys used to play 162, and that's not the way it is. They're you know, they're built up differently now. They're not made for 162 games. But if you were taking 12, 14 innings a week off their workload, you'd see your stars play more games, which is good for the game, right?
And I think the quality of the game would be better. I really do. I think the quality of the game would be much better. It's certainly an option that I'm open to now. I'm not 100% sold on it. I love it for doubleheaders. I think it's the greatest thing because players don't have to sit around for 3 hours and wait to go out there and play a whole second game. You don't believe you can't imagine how taxing that it is on a player. You know, to play a 9-inning first inning game, go in, sit in that clubhouse for 3 innings for 3 hours before the second game starts. Come out and try to do it again. Get loose. You know, all that stuff, and try to get mentally ready for a whole new ball game. It's not easy. This one after another, I think, is just great. You know, and I know it's a tough sell because they want two gates. I get that. I understand all that part of it. But from a player's perspective, from their point of view, it's much easier. I mean, I did it my whole career, where you go in, with the exception when we were in Boston, because they had the rule where you could do the split doubleheaders. But you go in, you get a little sandwich, you get something to drink. You might put on a new uniform. You might not. You go out and you get them right away, and you haven't even broken. You still got the sweat going that you had from the first game. I think I think you see a better quality baseball when you do it that way. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think baseball is in the next 4 or 5 years. There's going to be multiple changes in it, and I'm anxious to see which ones they go with and try, and which ones are going to work and which ones are not going to work. But the ones they've done so far, I've been very, very impressed with. I really have. I think they've helped in many ways.
Yeah, I think the only one I don't like so far is the 3-batter minimum.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because you know, manager makes his decision. He makes it for one batter, and then he's got to face 2 right-handers after that if it's a left-hander that comes in. That's tough managing. I mean, you're tied.
Josh Taylor was in there for Jose Abreu the other day, and I know I didn't like it then. He got him out, but I did not like that experience at all.
No, that's something that never would have happened under the other rules. So that's one that I think that, you know, if they make adjustments in the other ends of the game, you know, you could do something like it. You could put that back in and have, you know, you go batter to batter, I think, which managers would prefer.
You talked about changing uniforms in the game. So what'd you think? I'm rocking my City Connect yellow.
I like that. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. It looks good. I'm very sorry that we were not able to get one of those in our booth.
How did you know, of all people on earth, how did you not get one?
They probably couldn't find us where we were.
There is that. You are way in the back. By the way, I don't want to give away location because, you know, it's very, like the president. Nobody should really know where Jerry Remy is at any given moment. but you're like, you guys are behind the studio, behind us, down the hall.
Yeah, very secure location.
Somebody got cut in the studio, and I ran back to get a Band-Aid at the first aid station after the show yesterday, and you guys were taping the open. I almost walked into your booth. I was like, oh, sorry, just getting a Band-Aid. So, yeah, well, I think you know people. I'm sure you can get one. There was a lot of screaming. A lot of people didn't like the uniforms. It was 2 days. I thought it was fun. It was different.
It looked good.
I liked the connection to the marathon. I thought, yeah. It looked like UCLA. I mean, it looked like a West Coast thing, but, that's fine.
Yeah, it looked fine to me. I mean, what's the difference? You're wearing it for a couple of days. I mean, I wouldn't want to see them all year long. The Boston Red Sox with no red in there or blue or anything like that. But it was fine. They looked fine. I mean, I don't know what the big deal was. It looked like the players were enjoying them. And, they did it the right way. They lost the game. So they decided to change them, I think, a game early, which is okay. And then they came back yesterday in their regular whites and they won the ball game. So, I like the idea. I don't like the idea of the ones where they put their nicknames on the back. That's the only one I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not crazy.
Yeah, they're doing that again. They must be doing that again, right?
They probably are. I'm not crazy about that.
I didn't
that.
Like the look of those uniforms either. They look like softball uniforms.
Yeah,
they did. Colored they did. Sleeves on red. I didn't like those. Two old guys grumpy. And this is what people want, Jerry, on a podcast. Two old guys getting cranky about what they're wearing today.
What they're wearing.
But we like the yellow. We like the yellow. And I bet you we'll see. I think that would be a cool Patriots Day tradition if you wear them this weekend every year.
I do. I'm all for it. I enjoyed it. I think it looked good. I think the players enjoyed it. I think everybody did. So I think that, why not roll with it? Go with it. 11 o'clock start, put them on. Let's go. It'll brighten your day up.
It'll brighten your day up. That's right. All right. A couple more things I want to hit on before we go. The Blue Jays in town, obviously. Yankees in last place. Worst start. I think I read worst start in 24 years.
Yeah.
They got to be getting a little cranky down in New York. This team was supposed to win the World Series or at least face the Dodgers in the World Series.
Yeah, well, it's like DJ LeMay said. He said, look, nobody's going to feel sorry for us. It's on us. He says, there's not a team in baseball that cares about the Yankees, whether they win or lose. A lot of them want them to lose because they're not the most popular club around because they, every year they're up there supposed to win everything. So, like he said, nobody's going to feel sorry for us. We got to go out and do it on our own. And, it's always good to see them struggle. I'd like to see them get buried early in the season, because they do have talent on that club. And there's going to be talent that's going to come forward and play well at some point. Let's just hope it's not a point where they're so, close they can make a move. So, the more they can lose early, the better off it is for everybody else in the division. I love to look up at the scores even early in the season and see every team in our division losing because, I've been excited. I mean, I didn't know what this was going to bring for us. I really didn't know. I had no clue whether, and then after the first three games, it was like, oh God, this could be awful. And it's a tough way to feel the first week of the season, but they've turned things around. They're playing very good baseball. They're playing an exciting brand of baseball, which is fun to watch. And they've got guys to compete. They're going to be around. They're going to hang around. I mean, I honestly believe that. I still think it depends on the pitching. I still think it depends on the starting pitching, on how much they can get out of certain guys in that rotation. And if they can't get certain guys to get hot and pitch a little bit better than what they are, they've got some replacements. I'll take Tanner Houck in the starting rotation anytime. And when you think about Tanner Houck, he's what, 24, 25. Well, a lot of guys pitch in the big leagues at that age. And, I don't care about his third pitch right now because he's got two pitches that he can get people out with and he's not afraid, he'll come right after you. So, if some of these guys, a couple of these guys don't develop and continue to slide a little bit backwards, I am not against bringing him up and putting him in the rotation. I don't think it'll hurt his development. I think he can still work on a third pitch at the major league level. It looks like it's a changeup now instead of a splitter. And, all he's going to do is show it, to show left-handed hitters he's got one. And then uses his two big out pitches to get out. So that's the one thing that concerns me right now. It still concerns me a little bit as the starting rotation. But the team itself is a lot of fun to watch. There's a lot of different things that they can do.
It is amazing. I keep saying people who didn't watch last year, and that was most people. Most people didn't pay any attention to the team last year. And I understand it. We didn't. The pandemic was just hitting us. We didn't know what was going on. And the team stunk. So, it's, you know, that's fine. You didn't pay attention. But Verdugo last year was a heck of a ball player. He was the team MVP. And this offense was hitting without J.D. Martinez. And Vasquez came on, but he's having a great year this year. I mean, and then you add in Kike Hernandez, who finally seems to be fitting in pretty well at the top as a regular hitter. Christian Arroyo has been a huge surprise. I mean, this guy was first-round pick. You understand he had the talent, but he's never been able to show it. He's never had the chance. Now he's got a chance. This offense is going to hit. Like you said, they just got to pitch a little bit. I think the bullpen's been a lot better. So if the starting rotation can be good, maybe you get Chris Sale back by the end of the year, then who knows?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this even long-term without Sale. You know, I'm hoping that's the case. But, you know, you've got to be very careful with the guys coming off Tommy John, and they're going to be very careful with them. Maybe it depends on where they are in the standings, you know, whether he comes back or he doesn't come back. If they're not competitive, they're not going to be in the playoffs. You know, he may not even come back this year. But if he does and they're competitive, well, that's a trade everybody would make right there. So, you know, there's just a few guys that concern me a little bit. I know the numbers all overall for the rotation are good, but there's some improvement to be made there. And I think that, if they could just keep teams under control, you know, early in the ball game, this team's going to score a lot of runs. It really is. We felt that way all along. We felt like it was going to be a team that's going to score a lot of runs and do a lot of exciting things on the field. And they do play exciting baseball on the field. They're not afraid to take chances. You know, they make things happen. Like you mentioned the Vasquez bunt yesterday. They're fun to watch. They're actually a fun group to watch. And the rotations they're using, you know, with the different players and the different positions, I find that very entertaining too, because you don't know from one day to the other. And I think it's good for a clubhouse because they don't know from one day to the other where they're going to be playing. And I think that keeps them energized in a big way.
Yeah, the outfield's different. It feels like the outfield's got a different alignment every day when you go out there. I'll say this finally on the rotation. I think Nathan Eovaldi's fine. We've seen that. I think Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be fine. I think Martin Perez is everything you expect in a number five. He goes six innings, gives you a chance. You know, he'll pitch to a 4 ERA, give or take, and I think that's great. The real questions are going to be Richards and Pivetta.
Right.
I mean, they're the two guys. And like you said, you've got Houck there. Andrees has pitched great, could probably be a starter if you needed him to, maybe Garrett Whitlock. But I think you've got, you know, the next few weeks to see what Garrett Richards and Nick Pivetta are going to do. And if they can stabilize and pitch okay, then this is fine.
I think you're right. And let me ask you this question after listening to Alex. What do you think he's talking about when he's talking about Whitlock? You know, are they talking about stretching him out to give him more innings in a game and then more time off? Or are they talking about him possibly being a starter?
I keep thinking everything he says is leaning towards being a starter eventually. It's like they're giving him more time off between appearances. And then go, what did he end up going yesterday? Was it 3 or 2 2/3 or whatever?
Something like that,
So it's almost like they're putting him on almost a starter schedule. You know what I mean? Where you take a few days off and then you pitch. I don't know if he's doing side sessions. I'm going to ask. Friday, we'll do our first long interview with Alex this year. And I'm going to ask him about that because, that guy is something. 9 innings, hasn't given up a run yet. His changeup is getting better and better, the one he kind of learned a little more from Andrees. And this is a young guy, 25 years old, learning on the fly.
Yeah, and he's throwing at the right-handers. He's throwing at the left-handers. It doesn't matter what you are. I mean, he'll throw the changeup at any time, at any count. And he's got a pretty good fastball. You know, it's not overpowering, but it's got good juice on it. It's good hard enough. He's got a little breaking ball. I mean, I like him a lot. I liked him from spring training, and I like him even more now that I've seen him at the big league level. He has no fear, you know, and that's a little bit like Houck to me. You know, I love his attitude when he takes him out. He goes out there and he honestly believes he's going to be a winning pitcher that day. You can tell by the look on his face. And I'm very high on both those guys, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them be involved in the mix if some of the other things don't work out.
Yeah, they've got some depth. That's the difference. That's the biggest difference from last year. They didn't have those guys last year, which you had is, you know, you were putting bullpen guys as your 3 and 4 starters.
And if you keep playing this way, you know, till trade deadline, you can add. So that's important too. So we'll see where we go.
That is, everybody laughed. Oh, they got payroll flexibility, but that's why you got it. So that you got a little room that you hit the trade deadline, you could make a move. Well, that flew by quickly again. So when are you back in the booth now, Jerry?
I'm back in Thursday. We got a 3-man booth with me and Eck on Thursday, and then I'll finish off the Seattle series. And I haven't looked past that, but I'm pretty busy. The month of April and May, I'm really, really busy. Got a lot of games.
It's a fun stretch of baseball. Seattle's been really good, which is a big surprise. They're in first place.
I'm going to take a look at them.
And we got the Mets next week, and I think we'll get DeGrom, which will be a lot of fun. I guess
that would be great. Yeah,
Won't be fun if you're a Red Sox hitter, but it'll be fun for us.
Right, right. Eck believes he's the best pitcher in the game, and then I'm starting to think that way myself. I thought it was the kid with the Yankees, Cole. But DeGrom, I mean, some of the things that he does are just unbelievable. He just can't win. He just can't get.
He just can't win. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. They lose every game 2-1 when he starts. It's unbelievable. Right. Hopefully that'll continue next week. All right, Jerry, that was a fun week. Let you get back to your day off, and we'll see you in the booth for Seattle.
Okay, very good. Thanks, TC.
Good stuff. Sam Kennedy, that's a guy who needs a sweatshirt. Let's get it over to Nesson. That's Jerry Remy. Needs a yellow sweatshirt here. Let's get him one.
I'm the third desk on the right. Third desk on
the right. Who's driving up? It's next to the medicine cabinet down the hall behind the studio. That's Jerry Remy. I'm TC. It's the TC and Jerry podcast. Thanks for joining us.